OMF. It is conference championship week, and we're joined by Mike Lombardi on the Harbor One Hotline. Mike, we are totally confused. This is a unlikely position for us. We're sitting here talking about the conference championship games, and for the first time in 10 years, we can't talk about our own team in it. We don't know what to do.
Unbelievable.
Well, what do we do here? What do we do?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, it's unbelievable. I mean, just the fact that they've 9 of the last 10 years, they've been in the game, the hardest game to be in, which is really somewhat remarkable. I mean, it's the Final Four. It's the best four teams in football. And to think that they've 9 out of the last 10 years, they've been in this game, sometimes with teams that really weren't, you know, great teams. I think the team that lost in Denver wasn't a great team in 13, but they still were able to do it, and they were still able most of the time come through.
Yeah, so, I mean, to me, I'm kind of happy about it. I feel like the fans in New England need to kind of they need to learn to appreciate the team again, because they have been spoiled, and I've seen a dip as far as energy and excitement when it comes to the postseason, because all everybody cares about is the Super Bowl. That's it.
TV ratings were bad here this last weekend, Mike.
Yeah, I can imagine. I mean, look, let's face it. I mean, they're used to watching their Patriots, and so now they don't know what they're going to do on their Saturday afternoons. It's kind of like, what do? You know, so my sense of it is, look, if it comes back, you know, they've got to be able to appreciate football without the Patriots playing in it, and perhaps maybe this weekend they will, but sometimes that's hard.
So, Mike, I got to ask you, going back to last weekend, Tennessee, they win that football game. You still believe running back can't win a game?
Yeah, you know, I really do. I mean, I think, look, you know, let's just break down the game. I thought he was great. Look, I'm not saying he's not a good player, and I'm not saying he doesn't impact the game. What I am saying, though, is for the first time all season on fourth down, they got stopped twice. And both of those stops resulted in touchdowns. Both of those stops, the next play, touchdown. Three plays later, he breaks three tackles, and he runs into the game. This is the Baltimore game I'm talking about. Yeah. So I think, really, when you really study what they've done, is their short yardage goal line defense has been sensational. Their red zone offense has been remarkable. I mean, flat out remarkable. I mean, they got a 3rd and 16. Earl Thomas, the play before, almost sacks Tannehill for a loss. He throws it up to Smith, who makes a miraculous catch. If they stop them, Baltimore's usually a good red zone team. If they stop them on any one of those third downs, you know, the game's a different game. And they didn't. And this is what makes Tennessee so unique, is they've been able to put points on the board with touchdowns and not field goals. Last time they played Kansas City, this is a remarkable number. They played Kansas City. They only had the ball 22 minutes with their powerful running game. And Henry had 225 yards rushing in the game. And yet it came down to a miss, really. The Chiefs really messed up at the end of that game, if you recall. They botched a field goal, and they got a field goal block. If they made either one of those field goals, they probably win the game.
Yeah, I would say that was when Patrick Mahomes had just, I think that was his first game back.
He missed a bunch of open throws,
and he was a little bit rusty.
He might have been a little bit rusty, yeah. But he was great. I mean, they were 7 for 14 on third down in that game.
Yeah, and the yardage and the touchdowns, and everybody had a great game. So So when I look at this Tennessee game, I just feel like they're running out of gas. I mean, yes, I mean, I still think they'll be able to run the football. I feel like Vrabel's used every trick in the book. I feel like Tannehill's made every great throw that he's had in his back pocket for the last 3 years. I feel like they've used them all up. And I just don't know even if they do get behind. Kansas City has already shown against the Patriots last year in two games and against Houston that it doesn't matter how much you're up and how much time is left. We'll come back and win.
Yeah, I mean, look, I think last week's game against Houston was a perfect indication of when Belichick talks about who's in control and who's in the lead. And I think that game was always about Kansas City was never out of control of that game. Houston was never in control, even though they were in the lead by 24 points. And Houston's defense, and where the liability on Tennessee's team is, and it was in New England, and it was with Baltimore, is attacking the outside part of the field and making these corners have to play man-to-man and see if they can hold up. They held up against New England. I would say they held up good against Baltimore because Baltimore changed their style of what they were doing, And then, you know, this week, can they hold up against a team that really moved the football effectively on them the last time they played?
I'm not sure Tennessee can do it if they fall behind early in this game. It's very similar to what they did to Baltimore. They got the lead last week, took Baltimore out of the game, forced Jackson to throw 59 times. If you put the game in Tannehill's hands and away from Derrick Henry, where are you then, Mike?
Well, I say this. The one thing I will tell you is Tennessee won't do that. Tennessee was down 29-20 in the fourth quarter against the Chiefs. With 10 minutes to go in the fourth quarter, they didn't change who they are. They kept handing the ball off. They got into a 4th-and-17, and they couldn't convert, obviously. And the Chiefs come back down. Andy Reid throws the ball on 2nd down incomplete, stops the clock, gives them another timeout. Then on 3rd down, Mahomes takes a bad sack. He's trying to throw it, and he loses 8 yards on the play. The next play, the field goal kicker and the snapper aren't in alignment, and he snaps the ball to the holder who's not ready, and he's got to throw the ball, and they take a grounding penalty on that.
So, okay, as far as the battle of the coaches, the battle of wits, who are you giving that win to, Andy Reid or Mike Vrabel?
Well, I mean, look, offensively, I mean, Dean Pease has been really good for Mike Vrabel, and they've done a great job defensively of defending this. But I think the reality here is Andy Reid's moved the football on him at will. Chris Jones played the last game. Whether he plays this game or not, I don't know. But he played the last game. They gained 225 yards rushing in 22 minutes. That's fairly remarkable, right? But they got a turnover for a touchdown. You know, they got a blocked field goal. They got a missed field goal. Both teams miss extra points. So, you know, I don't know where the coaching matchup favors. I think when you're at this level, the coaching's been pretty good all season.
All right, talking to Mike Lombardi. Mike, I want to take you to the NFC because I feel like Aaron Rodgers, right? I remember before the season started, that somebody postseason, someone had the 11th best quarterback. So I feel like this game here, if he loses it, people will continue to pile on. If he wins it, we'll go the other way and start putting him in the conversation of the greatest quarterback of all time if he goes on to win a Super Bowl. Where would you put Aaron Rodgers right now, based on the year he had? Is it similar to what Brady was dealing with weapons, or where would you go with him?
You know, I mean, he hasn't really played to the level that we know him to play back in his day. I mean, this year he's 7.3 yards per attempt down the field, which is low, one of the lowest points of his career. Some of the skill around him hasn't been to the highest level, and you know, and I think they relied on their running game to win games. So. Look, I think he's a first ballot Hall of Famer. I think he's a great player. I think they should have won way more Super Bowls with him. But I think the way they built that football team in terms of only using college scouting as a mechanism to build a team has cost them.
It just, who else other than Devontae Adams can step up for that team, that offense? Wow. You got two old tight ends who don't seem like they're, you know, obviously they're not near the players that they were. But other than Adams, who is it?
I don't know. I don't have an answer for it. I mean, is it Allison? Is it? Lazard? I mean, I don't know. I mean, they're going to have to prove it. They're going to have to block up front first, which they couldn't do the first game. The first time they played them, they were 1-for-15 on 3rd down. The first time they played them, they had the ball 35 minutes, which is remarkable considering they were 1-for-15 on 3rd down. And they're going to have a hard time being able to block this front
The 49ers front, right? Yeah, because they harassed absolutely. Aaron Rodgers like crazy, sacked him. I mean, it was their defensive front did an excellent job.
They always do, and that's the key to the 49ers' defense is to control the front. And they did it last week against Minnesota. That was the concern going into the game, and they did it the time they played Green Bay. We'll see if they can do it again. I think Green Bay will try to do different things to help themselves move around the pocket and create some areas where Rodgers has time to throw the football. But I think the secondary is healthy in San Francisco, which certainly helps.
Mike, the Antonio Brown story gets worse and worse every single day, and Drew Rosenhaus finally has washed his hands of all of it. AB today is posting back and forth texting with Rosenhaus, and so he's throwing that out there as well. And what happened in New Orleans was a joke. It seemed to me like the Saints were actually showing some interest and then realized that it was just a video clown show that AB wanted to put up. As you talk to people around the league, is anybody going to give him a chance now? This video with the cops the other day down in Hollywood, Florida, embarrassing.
Yeah, I mean, look, I think finally Drew did the right thing. The guy needs to see somebody and get some help. And I think the only way he was going to do that, the people in his life, has got to help him. And the more he's around people that are enabling him, he's not going to get the help he needs.
You think the NFL views it the same way? Prove to us that you're getting help and you'll calm down.
Yeah, I think right now it's so toxic that if he doesn't do something, I think it's going to be a real issue. I think no one's going to take on this whole element of what he brings to the table, because it's, you still don't know. I mean, it's just he could, you know, like, and when Rosenhaus walks away, you know it's bad.
So is he done, Mike? Because he's running out of time. The age now becomes an issue too, right?
I mean, unless he gets help, I think he is done, yeah.
So, you know, the other thing I was going to ask you, so Richard Sherman, obviously, great player, but man, I mean, it's almost like he constantly needs validation. And if anyone's going to give it, like, he's going to give it to himself. When he talks about playing man and playing zone, or, you know, that he doesn't get the credit, do you see it that way? Do you see people not giving him credit for being a great player?
No, I mean, I think everybody recognizes him to be a great player.
I agree with you.
Ball skills. I mean, I don't understand
why.
What
is it?
I don't know. I can't, you know, I mean, I don't know what, you know, I don't know, A, why he's listening to anything anyway. Your play speaks for itself, right? Why would he care?
Mike, I got to get your thoughts on this. So last night, a good friend of ours locally went on TV and had this sort of breaking story about Bill Belichick a few years ago. I want you to hear it real quick. It's 20 seconds, and then I need to get your thoughts on it.
A source told me today that after he was forced to trade Jimmy Garoppolo to San Francisco, he inquired about coaching jobs with the New York Giants and the Washington Redskins. Belichick wanted to make it clear that he needed to be in complete charge of the Patriots, or what was the point of him being here? He would leave. Ownership has said that Brady's future is up to him, up to Tom. But in reality, it's up to Bill Belichick.
See, more about the first part. Did he ever inquire jobs in the Giants in Washington?
Bill and Dan Snyder.
First of all, that just, the rules don't allow that. And that's completely, like, if you've won as many titles as Bill's won, nobody needs to solicit jobs, right? Nobody needs to say, hey, I want to come work for you, right? And so, first of all, that's not how jobs work in the National Football League. So I just think it's a non-story, really. It's a completely non-story.
How about the music in the background? Did you enjoy that?
No, I was. You know, I would have preferred racing in the street on that. Yeah,
distracting.
a little like piano introduction. Like Somewhere in the Night. You know, the piano of the beginning of Somewhere in the Night would have made me feel happier.
We had the same reaction to the whole thing. It just made
absolutely no story. I mean, well, it's the age we live in today that actually has legs.
Well, Mike, I felt at the time, and Tommy Curran has come out, and he's all over this now, that people mischaracterized what was going on during that Jimmy Garoppolo, when they traded Jimmy Garoppolo. It was almost as if there was this back-and-forth fight between Belichick and Kraft forced him to trade Jimmy Garoppolo. I've heard that's not the case, that Bill just understood that he can't carry $50 million for a quarterback position, right?
I mean, I made it very clear to people, look, when Don Yee represents Bill Tom Brady and Don Yee represents Jimmy Garoppolo, it's hard to make a deal.
Hmm. Well, all right. So give us your picks, AFC and then NFC.
I like Kansas City to cover in the AFC. I've been wrong about Tennessee 2 weeks in a row. I'm about to go 3 weeks in a row. And I like Green Bay and the points. I think San Francisco wins. I think it's a closer game.
Over under for Derrick Henry, 170 yards rushing.
170 is the number?
Yep.
Well, he got 225 the last time he played him in 22 minutes. So I would take the over there.
Well, what's a guy like, you know, if you're a running back, so we just saw, Lou, who was the guy, the kid out of Clemson, Travis Etienne?
Yeah.
Running back out of Clemson. He decided to stay in school one more year. When it comes to tailbacks, isn't it basically the general rule, you correct me if I'm wrong, come out a year early rather than a year late?
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, and look, Henry's due to get a big paycheck, but you got to commit your offense to him because, you know, even though he caught the screen pass against the Patriots, he's not really in the passing game as much. So, and if you want to play that style, here's what people don't understand. Tennessee's never going to get out of their style, right? If they get behind 21-3, they'll still keep playing their style, because if their offensive line ever has to pass protect in a drop back game, the game's over.
See, I think he's an interesting one, making like $1.2 million, and he's had 4 years in the league, and the last two, you look at him and say, oh my God, but are you going to give running back big money long term, and how much of that is guaranteed off of bonus structure? As you said, your whole team has to be geared toward that system. What happens if he goes down with an injury game three next year?
Yeah, that's the problem. You know, and look, you know, he's remarkable, and he breaks tackles. I mean, people just flock off of him. There's no doubt. But I think he has to be a complement what they do. Could I see him in Seattle? Yeah, he'd be the perfect fit for Seattle.
All right, Mike. We'll talk to you next week. Have a good one.
Thank you, guys.
See you later. That is Mike Lombardi right here on OMF.